まあ、God is good. So great to hear this morning. I was at the prayer meeting, and these two guys independently drawn to this song, and about putting our trust and going across in this boat. And he was talking about records. They predated MP3s, apparently. And but I'm glad. What would we be like if God didn't speak to us? And I put a talk together this morning, and it says this. It says, God never said, I've got enough worries of my own without listening to yours. God never said, I've got enough worries of my own without listening to yours. He never said that. But sometimes we might think he said it. Do you understand? Sometimes we kind of fall into a mode of, God doesn't want to be bothered about this. How wrong we are. And how easily we listen to lies of the enemy, really. Really well-known passage, Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Wow. Cast your cares on the Lord. And it's a thought and a passage that's replicated many, many ways in the Bible with slight variations in different passages. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. But there is something about anxieties, worries, burdens that I find it harder, or many of us find it hard, to give to God. We kind of collect them like some bizarre stamp collection and kind of keep them going and fan them and develop them. Anxieties, worries, and burdens. God says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. I don't know how you do that. But I do find myself occasionally waking up in the middle of the night and I've got something on my mind. And I just know unless I deal with it, I'm not going to be able to sleep. So I find myself, not every time, but often on my knees saying, God, this is on my mind. Will you take it? Will you deal with it? And sometimes, remarkably, peace comes. The issue kind of, not goes, but the issue is in perspective. And I sleep. It's not always like that. But when that happens, you just know that I'm putting the problem in the right place by casting it on Jesus. I think these issues are a huge issue in modern society and among the church. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. I've almost got a feeling that it says he will sustain you, because I've got a kind of bit of thinking that says, if I ask God to deal with these, I no longer have control. Do you understand that thinking? If I give these to God, I might not be able to control it. It'll be even worse than it is at the moment. It'll be out of control. It'll be all over the place. I don't know what on earth will happen. So I'd rather keep them to myself or worry myself sick. ridiculous, but things go round in our heads. Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will sustain you. It's the same, this casting idea is used a lot in the Bible. And it's the same kind of word, the origin word. So when they brought a colt to Jesus, a donkey, it says here, they brought to Jesus, casting their cloaks on the colt, and they set Jesus on it. They kind of giving these things up, putting them on the donkey that Jesus is riding to the crucifixion. Casting your cares as Jesus journeys to the cross. Casting our cares. This worrying thing, I don't know. It's huge, isn't it? And Jesus spends so much time talking about worry and anxiety. in Matthew 6 says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and drink, and about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" I think these are really significant things in a modern world, but also in the time of Jesus, because so many times things happen where the things of everyday life cloud the disciples' thinking when they're trying to catch up with what Jesus is doing in the kingdom of God. All the time. Talk to the woman at the well. They've gone shopping. The people in the desert get distracted by water and moan about what they're going to drink, what they're going to eat. As soon as Adam and Eve in the garden fall, they're aware of their nakedness and their lack of clothes. And it says here, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and drink, and about your body, and what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look to the birds of the air. They do not sow and reap and store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow, and they don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Each day has enough trouble." Wow. Do we think we've cracked it? Anybody cracked this stuff? Do not worry. Do you know, we need to, don't we? It's kind of clear stuff here. Really clear. "But first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this will be added to you." So Jesus is in the desert for 40 days. Satan comes with food. They're in the desert, God's people. And the whole dispute about water goes on and on and on. And out of Eden, it's all about what should we wear. We have problems. We're naked. We've sinned. Wow. I don't go through life never thinking about this stuff. And maybe I worry about everyday life. And maybe it clouds my thinking. But the Bible says here, first, pursue his kingdom. And all these things will be added to us. All these things. I've been spending a lot of time, and we're going to do some work on this tonight a little bit, about Mary and Martha. And when Martha first meets Jesus, and she's preparing the food, and the Bible says, "But Martha was distracted by the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked," and this is coming to Jesus. So first of all, she's distracted by the preparations. Jesus is here, and she's distracted by life, by life. And in my journey and in my walk with God, it might be getting a meal together, which I don't do very often, but it might be doing lots of other stuff. And do the distractions of life cloud my thinking? Is that true? Yeah, absolutely. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself?" Wow. Here is a cry from somebody who's got their mind on what they see, not on what God's doing. Don't you care, God, that this is where I am? I am completely left to do everything on my own. Wow. Don't you care? Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do it by myself? And then another great line from Martha, says this to Jesus. Tell her to help me. She's wrapped up in all the stuff of the day, distracted by the preparations, distracted by life. Don't you care, God, about my situation? Don't you care, God, tell this to do this? Wow. Do I find that that might say something about my contact with Jesus sometimes? Don't you care about this? Sort this out. Do this. Move it to over here. Then you'll have solved my problems for me. Does it sound familiar? It kind of does to me. And then Jesus very carefully and very lovingly says to her, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. So I put your name at the front of that. And I imagine his eyes meeting Martha's eyes. And gently he says, Martha, Martha, but it could be anybody here. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away as Mary sits at the feet of Jesus. I think practical things always need to be done. But where do they come from? And where do they sit in my life? Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will keep you. He will protect you. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. He cares for you. And so all this stuff that Martha had, all this stuff that she was wrestling with that kind of was massive to her, it's important to God. God is concerned. He wants to deal with that. He wants to draw alongside her. On 1 Peter 5:7 it says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. But that's not the whole section, because in the verse before, it's so wonderful. It says this, humble yourself therefore under God's mighty hand that he may lift you in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Wow. Humble yourself therefore under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I think this is a choice, isn't it? What we do with our worries and our anxieties. God wants to know. And we bring ourselves before him and say, God, this is on my mind, but you are the taker of my burdens. You are the carrier of my anxieties. I give them to you because you are my Lord and my Saviour. And without you, there is no peace. But you are peace. You are my provision. You are my hope. Would you come and put peace in my heart as I give you this stuff? Would you sustain me in the storm? Would you protect me? Would you deliver me? I choose to give it to you, Jesus, the burden carrier, the protector of my soul. It's where God wants us to be. This stuff is so hugely distracting to Martha. I wonder what she'd have done if Jesus hadn't intervened. I wonder if she'd have been run ragged producing some fantastic first century meal and missed some key revelation about what Jesus was saying. the sower, Jesus talks and says this stuff has implications for our life. Anxieties and the worries of the world has impacts on our spiritual life. And in Matthew 13:22, one of the scenes in the parable of the sower is written for us, and it says this: the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Wow. Let me go through that again. This is kind of, is this hard? It is, isn't it? Is it true? I think so. But the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Because God, throughout the Bible, says, I am here. Cast your burdens on me. The worries of life, let me take them. Be free to know me and to walk in me and to know my word and to know my purposes. And when Jesus meets, risen from the dead, meets Peter on the shore of the lake, and he says to him, do you love me more than these? And he's looking at his friends and his fishing boats and his nets out to dry. Do you love me more than this? All the worries and anxieties and the fishing and the life that he had. Where is he wrapped up? What's wrapping up his life? He's interested in our anxieties. He wants to know what's got our heart. He wants to know what is worrying us. He wants to take that and, in an amazing exchange, give us peace and freedom. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Give us peace and freedom in exchange. Luke 11, Jesus is very harsh with the leaders, religious leaders. And you experts of the law, woe to you, because you load the people down with burdens that they cannot carry, and you yourself will not lift one finger to help them. He condemns them because they pile more stuff on people. But he said the character of God is to be a burden carrier, a lifter, a carrier, and one that takes this stuff and carries it and supports it and brings peace into people's lives. This is not the character of God, to be burdening people and crushing them under rules and regulations which you don't follow yourself. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Occasionally, just in conversation, it tends to be kind of certain people, certain times, or my own anxious thoughts. I kind of get approached by a kind of barrage of anxiety ridden angst and grief that comes towards me, and I kind of got to recognize it a bit now. I don't want this stuff, because God is alive. He is in control. I will worship him. I will choose to trust him. I choose to stand in faith. I choose to take courage. I choose to put this stuff on the cross where it belongs and exchange it for everlasting peace. Anxiety for people is a huge issue. For some of you, kind of medical stuff. The Bible is full of it. Full of this stuff. Psalm 68. Again, David, writing most of the Psalms, knew what it was to be under pressure, knew what it was to be anxious and worried, and he writes many of those things in the Psalms. He's not a guy that kind of hides that stuff. And he says this, "Praise be to the Lord God our Saviour, who daily bears our burdens." Daily bears our burdens. Wow. Daily bears. The two guys this morning, Michael shared briefly about this passage where Michael was playing a song by the Seekers, I think it was, some such thing. And it had these words in it. It really struck him. He brought it to the prayer meeting. In the middle of the prayer meeting, Paul says, "Oh my life, yesterday, that very song came into my mind when I was thinking about what was in my attic and when I kind of sort things out in the attic." And Paul challenged himself to remember the words and managed to do it all remarkably. And so this kind of ancient song, really, I don't know how old it is. Certainly more than 2 years ago. And Paul recalled... 60s, yeah. But God drew that out for this morning. Because the challenge was about going on a boat crossing. And getting in a boat with Jesus and going across the water. Because one thing strikes me about this stuff is that God has a yoke for us. He has a burden he wants to put on us. It's different from the burden that we choose to carry about our own worries and our own anxieties. It's different. But he wants us to come under him and work with him and partner with him. But sometimes we're so wrapped up in our own issues that we don't hear what he wants to put on our shoulders. Matthew 11 says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It's a great invitation. Then it says this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There are two burdens that God wants us to sort out. There is the burden that we carry around in our own life that we need to give to God and continually, daily experience God as the carrier of our burdens. And there is a burden that he approaches us and says, "I'm carrying this for you. We have a relationship together. You know what it is to trust me. But I want you to walk with me and carry this burden as we walk together to bring glory to the Father." Amen? So maybe when we get into this boat, God takes our issues, our worries and our anxieties, and takes them to the cross. But it's a daily journey. And we're on the journey with him. And he doesn't just carry our burdens so we can be at work and have a nice time and so we can sleep really well, although that's kind of really important. But he also wants to come to us and says, "I want to work alongside you and be yoked together. And I want you to know what that is and what I'm calling to you and what I want you to walk with and how I want to walk step by step as you follow a calling from heaven in your life. Not to worry about the things that the pagans run after, but to trust me and to walk with me and to know my voice and to share with me the journey to the kingdom of God." what the burden that he puts on our souls, that Jesus puts on our souls. It won't crush you. Jesus says he'll never give us anything that will crush us. But it will give life. It will give life. I wonder about Paul the Apostle. Before he became a Christian, I don't know how many troubles he had, but I bet they were small compared to what he had afterwards. But actually, I think he counted it pure joy that he might know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I think it's a horrible thing when I've been through episodes of kind of worrying about stuff and not sleeping and all that kind of stuff, and I've had to say, God, what is it, and sort myself out. And it's horrible, and for some of you, you carry that over long, long periods of time. And I don't know everybody's journey here, and they're complicated and difficult. But I'll be wrong to say that God's not in the picture and that God doesn't want to come and lift that stuff, because he wants us to walk alongside him with a different yoke, a different burden, that we might serve him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love the Martha story, because in the third episode, when she meets Jesus again, they meet three times probably, and on the third time, again, Martha's preparing food. I think if I'd have written the Bible, I'd have had Martha on the first episode moaning about nobody's helping her. And on the third encounter, I'd have had Mary serve. And I would have written the Bible, because, of course, it is tough, I know what you mean. But it doesn't work like that, because in the first episode, Martha serves and she says, tell my sister, come and help me. She's distracted by the preparations. All that stuff happens. Jesus speaks to her tenderly. And I'm sure she's kind of, that's her personality, and that's what she wants to do. But Jesus speaks to her tenderly and says, one thing's important. And on the third time they meet, after Lazarus has been raised from the dead, the Bible makes a really, really tiny reference. John 12:2. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. It says, Martha served. Martha served. While Lazarus was amongst those reclining at the table with him. Something's happened to the heart of Martha, whereas serving in the past was unbelievably difficult. It caused her pain. It caused her anxiety. She got her stressed. She pointed the finger. Jesus comes for dinner again, and it just said, Martha served. There's a huge difference between serving God because you're glad at what he's done and you know where you're at with his presence, and then being over here and doing it because it's a job, because you just need to get on with the job. Wow. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. John 4. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he told them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. The disciples asked one another, could someone have brought him food? Jesus explained, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Lord, I desire that my agenda would be your agenda. That the things that would stir me and become like thorns in the harvest, I'd cast them onto you and you would carry them. And in my life, there would be a harvest to come. Amen. I love what David says in Psalm 23. It's used in funerals, used a lot, but it's beautiful for this stuff. I'm going to read it slowly. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. Lord, I pray for those that are overwhelmed or find it very difficult with the worries of life and anxiety. Lord, we would know you as our shepherd. Lord, we would know your completeness in our lives. You would cause us to be still in your provision. And Lord, we would know the quiet waters of your Spirit refreshing us and renewing us. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Lord, I pray that we might know the comfort of your presence. And Lord, as I take the staff of your calling, Lord, I pray that we would know the renewing presence of your Spirit. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Lord, I pray as the world around us, we feel really hemmed in, we face huge difficulties, that Lord, you invite us onto a boat. In this passage, you prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Lord, for many of us surrounded by our enemies would send our blood pressure high. We would be praying like Martha, don't you care? Tell that person to help me. Lord, I pray you will prepare a table as you promise. We would recognize it and feast on you. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, I pray that we would dwell not with thistles that are choking our life, but Lord, we would dwell in your house. We would know your filling. We would walk alongside you, carrying the yoke, what you've called us to do to serve you. Father, I pray for a move of your Spirit amongst us that would see you do remarkable things among those that have been broken by worry and anxiety and find that a huge issue to deal with. Lord, would you come? Would you bring a fresh move of your Spirit, a season of release, a lifting of a burden, and peace and joy might flood into people's spirits. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.